Hear the reading from the 50th chapter of Genesis, a part of the story of Joseph in Egypt. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of your father.'" And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you. Someone, sometime in the past, has done a great unkindness, a great injustice to you. You've thought about it often. It's consumed you, and you have lain awake at night, imagining various ways to pay back the person who has wronged you. What happened to Joseph, Jacob's son, Abraham's grandson, great-grandson, would make just about anything that has ever happened to me completely insignificant. His older brothers are jealous of him because their father favors Joseph over them, and they are especially angered when Joseph dreams that they bow down to him. Their solution is to throw him into a pit and tell their father that Joseph has been killed by wild beasts. But when they see an opportunity to make some money, they sell him into slavery to some traders passing by. He's taken to Egypt, sold into slavery, becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. He's thrown into prison when he refuses the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife. But then he comes into favor with Pharaoh when he interprets some dreams Pharaoh had, which foretell a famine. And Joseph then becomes the highest official in the Egyptian government. Just think what thoughts in all of his idle moments must have gone through Joseph's mind as those years are passing by. If he ever meets up with his brothers again, what might he do to them? As a high official of Egypt, anything at all that he might want to do to them is now in his hands. But you know the story. Joseph does meet his brothers again. A severe famine strikes Canaan and Egypt too. But Joseph, who has seen it coming, successfully engineers a stockpiling of grain, and he averts a horrible catastrophe. The brothers come to Egypt to buy grain, and they find the brother they thought dead to be a ruler in Egypt. Certainly they prayed that he wouldn't recognize them, but he does. And it all leads, after several visits, to a happy reunion, also with his father, and later with all of Jacob's children living in Egypt. Jacob dies, and that's where this text begins. With Jacob dead and buried back in Canaan, Joseph's brothers wonder if now Joseph will finally have his way. Joseph will get his revenge. But Joseph says to them, "I am not God. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your little ones." And he then comforts them and speaks kindly to them. So that's the example of forgiveness that's put before us here. It's the forgiveness that we pray about in the prayer our Lord taught us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, who has it in his power? Which of us has it in his power to be that forgiving? Who of us hasn't lain in bed at night thinking long thoughts about how to even things up with somebody, about what I would do to the person who has once treated me so badly? When I think about the hours that I've spent making plans on how I would teach someone who has wronged me a lesson that he would never forget, I'm amazed that I've had time to do anything else. But the prayer that our Lord has taught us to pray has, right there at its very center, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Do we thereby make a deal with God? If you do this, then I'll do such and such? Certainly not, because Jesus means to teach us that our lives are to reflect the same forgiveness that God has shown us. And in the same breath, we are sent back to God's grace. Surely, God will forgive me in greater measure than I have ever forgiven others. Now, if you don't bother to think about it too much, this might not bother you. But if you do think about it and come to understand it, then it surely will trouble you. Forgive as I have forgiven? Nothing about that I can't understand. And it forces me daily to pray that God will forgive me more fully than I have ever forgiven other people. Indeed, I know that God has promised me that he forgives me all of my sin, and he does it purely by his grace and nothing else. He doesn't check the ledger book to see what my balance is, but he's wiped the slate of my sin entirely clean. Now, Joseph, in this great lesson, is a type of Christ. He's a prophetic picture of Christ. For his forgiveness of his brothers who have sinned against him so grievously exceeds the bounds of all possible human expectation. God's forgiveness, worked out on the cross, is not conditioned in the least on how well I do in forgiving others. It is absolute and it's unconditional. And only such an unconditional and absolute forgiveness can move you and me to be forgiving of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Joseph said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And what follows is the daily comfort that we receive at his word. "And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." And so God continues to speak comfort and kindness and forgiveness and grace to us. To him alone be the glory. Amen.